Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. It is these are the dog days of summer. It's a training camp. We have fake football on the agenda. Luke will be out in Owings Mills. They allow him the access. So he'll be at Camden Yards next week, as well as the Orioles are on the road. We're going to get back to the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We got some really special stuff happening here because it's our 26th anniversary. I got to get rid of the 25th anniversary cupcake here and go with some sort of Rod Woodson, Johnny Oates boot pal thing. The Gold Rush Sevens Doublers will be with me on the 23rd when we welcome the Cheatstros down to Camden Yards. Later on in the month, we'll be at Fadley's, our friends at Jiffy Lube Multi-Care, as well as Liberty Pure Solutions, supporting us in our endeavors to do the Crab Cake Tour. And in September, we're doing 26 oysters in 26 days, 26 ways, beginning on the kickoff day, the 5th of September. We're actually going to be at Coco's on the 4th. They don't have any oysters over there. Hope they have some air conditioning. Love you, Marcella. This guy has been a part of the fabric, the furniture. He's been selling cars at Coons Ford Security Boulevard and now at Coons Kia of Owings Mills, Reisterstown Road, where Ron West and I camped out for REO Speedwagon and Journey and Styx and David Bowie tickets at the Heck Company there. We welcome our defending champion of all things NFL Draft. I don't know if he's watching baseball. I don't know if he's fishing. He's running a couple car dealerships. He's been too busy to come on this summer, but he's got a lot of thoughts on football season here, I'm sure, in the offensive line. We welcome Dennis Colazzo's back. Dennis, it's not even Monday morning, and I'm having you on. I mean, it's amazing. How are you doing? How was summer? How's car sales? Give me an update. Everybody here wants to know what's going on with Dennis.
I appreciate you, Nestor, so much. All is well. Car sales are good. It's what we make it. We have a lot of repeat referral business. We have a lot of equity built up in the community with our association with WNST, in particular with all that great advertising that we've done. The business is very good, but I've been running both stores and took in some Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, and Rancid the other night, watching baseball.
You didn't like Rancid, right? Rancid wasn't your thing.
Oh, my God. It was crazy. It was insane. I think I was the oldest person there jumping up and down, but that's another story for another day. But looking forward to the start of football season while enjoying these young Orioles and their exploits.
I'm going to ask you this because, like, I've been to a whole lot more concerts than you. You have spent tens of thousands of dollars, if we both add it up, it might be getting up on a millions, right? That money we have spent getting on airplanes, rides, parking, tickets, suites, beer, sales, tailgate, swag, the Super Bowl, like literally, if we went through the course of our lifetime, and I wouldn't suck it back out, I wouldn't have it any other way, but there is something about music, and the last month, all the concerts were in 10 days at the end of July, the ones that I wanted to see, right? And I've had the guys from Hootie and the Blowfish on. I had Stephen Page on this week, my wife's favorite musician in the whole world, one of the Bare Naked Ladies. Originally, he's no longer in the Bare Naked Ladies, but he has his own solo thing. He's playing Ramstead. And you sent me a picture when you were at Green Day because you were so excited to be there. And when you were at Green Day, I think the night you were there, I was like at Thomas Dolby in Cleveland, I think, at Blossom. And I think I sent you a picture of Tom Dolby back. And I muled all of his roadie stuff. It was the last night of the tour. He gave me all the stuff in the back of my trunk, so I had to bring all his stuff home for him from Cleveland. True story. It's only the second time I've muled the rock star stuff this year. You can ask Tommy Conwell about his forgotten stuff at the record. But there's something about music that nobody loses. You don't. Everybody wins when the weather's good, even when the weather's bad. Last week at Hootie and the Blowfish, people got wet and still had a good time. You enjoy them both. You have graduated from golfing and like you fish now. You have a new love. You have a new life. You have all this stuff going on. But like concerts are something that like, you didn't go to a lot of them, but now that you go to them, what do you get out of a concert that's different? When you go to a stadium, because it's the same-ish, right? You got to park, you got to pay, you got to drive someplace you may or may not want to go, whatever it is. And give me your concert experience.
Well, we went to the Nationals Park, so parking was a bit of a challenge. But once we got in there, it was a lot of fun, a lot of energy, a lot of high energy. There was about a 1 hour rain delay because there was thunder in the area, so that delayed the concert a bit. But it was a lot of fun. Just love the energy, the enthusiasm, the young people. I think when you hang around young people, you tend to feel young yourself. You get rejuvenated. You see them jumping up and down. The amazing part for me, Nestor, was Green Day. how many people in the audience knew every word to every song. They played at least two full albums. So the energy was intense, and it's really good when you can plug into that, right? I think those endorphins that get you going, it helps keep you younger. That's my biggest takeaway.
I think my wife would say that after three weekends with Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony in the pit in Florida, literally in Florida, in Virginia, and again in Ohio, that I've been running around because it's kept me young. REO Speedwagon, speaking of young, I saw Train, REO Speedwagon, and Yacht Rock Review at the Camden Pavilion, which... You know, when you drive from Baltimore, you go up through a really bad section of Camden to get there. Mm-hmm. And I went in over the bridge because I went with Dick Girardi and had a cheesesteak in Fishtown in Philly. And I went across the bridge and went in. We had a completely different experience with Camden. It was the same $40 to park, but we had some beers, we had tailgate, three shows, three bands. The lawn there, no offense to Merriweather, but the lawn is really nice in Camden. Like, you can see well from the lawn there, which makes me rethink it. But I went out on the lawn for Train, REO Speedwagon, who I interviewed in 1984, mm-hmm. Kevin Cronin, right? And Yacht Rock Review, which is all 70s Michael, it's yacht rock music done better than anybody's ever done it. They're touring, they're wonderful. My wife loves Yacht Rock Review. So we go up there to do this show, and we went out on the lawn, and there were young people. And I don't mean young people like me being like saying they were 22 or 23. I'm talking like 15, 16, 17, 18, high school age people, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of them. They're for Train. And I'm like, that shocked me. And I'm like, are they on a TV show, or is Monahan like appealing to really young people in some way? Apparently he has a Sirius XM channel to some degree for younger people. I don't know. I don't even know why. And I thought, well, maybe their songs sort of have a nursery rhyme sort of, but REO Speedwagon was the second band. And they know that everybody there is, oh, I'm young for REO Speedwagon at 55. Right. And he put up Kevin Cronin, who remembers the 59 White Sox. Every time he sees me, he talks about Louis Aparicio because he's a White Sox fan. God bless the White Sox fans this week. But they put up a big thing at the end at REO Speedwagon. It says rock and roll will keep you young. And I think Kevin Cronin's 74 and bouncing around like a 40-year-old. Like, literally, bouncing around like a 35-year-old. Rock and roll will keep you young. And I take that with me. That was a hell of a message that I'm talking about it with you on the air. But, like, there is a point where Green Day's playing Saturday night, this Saturday in Hershey. And, you know, my son, you know, maybe
great,
we want to
great
do it.
Concert,
maybe.
Though. Great concert. Yeah, you should go. I mean, it was 95 degrees. These guys were sweating, and they played song after song after song.
They're
incredible.
They're playing the albums, right? Yeah.
Incredible. Just incredible. I'm not a huge fan. The family was or is. But for me, just watching their energy, it's transformational. We've seen Train. We've seen Voice to Men recently. We've seen Mariah Carey. I do encourage everyone to get out there and spend time at these concerts, supporting these stars and just having a ball. That's what life is all about.
Saturday night, Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, I love the Linda Lindas. So
they were good. I like the Linda Lindas. We saw them too.
But I would go see them at the 9:30 Club or something, or the 8x10, you know.
They had a song about a cat. I think you would like. It was about one of the lead singers' cats, and it was pretty cool.
All right.
I'll leave it at that.
Well, I bring up the music thing, and there's a lot of things that we're going to go through in this segment here, because it's been a little while since we caught up, and it's football season. And we'll get serious about the offensive line and all the things we ever did on Monday mornings, the Monday morning quarterback, and talk about football, talk about management and leadership and all of that. I would just say, and this is where I'll kick Harbaugh in the nuts and Monken and what they've been pounding for 8 months now, is anything you can do, whether it's fishing or whatever, to forget about the $625 you spent on AFC championship game tickets and the $1,500 you spent that day to go down to the game to like watch them run the ball three times and lose, and then have to watch the Chiefs do what they did, right? There's something about concerts when you walk out of the concert, even if the traffic sucks and you're leaving Jiffy Lube Live, my sponsors, I love you, Jiffy Lube, but it is, you know, like, it is a little bit of a haul to Manassas, and I made that haul, you know, for the right bands, for Sammy Hagar, I do it. And for Loverboy, but Loverboy is my dirty little secret. But there's something about, with sports, you spend all this money, and whether an athlete would disappoint you, or a team would disappoint you, or the Baltimore Colts leaving town to disappoint you or whatever. But losing, there's something about going to Green Day that, unless it rains or unless electricity knocks out the board and you can't hear the show, like what happened to Sammy Hagar in Ohio the night I was there. The sound went out on the lawn. So, you know, unless there's that kind of a problem or a fight in the bathroom or whatever. I mean, I hear people bitching about everything, but there is something about concerts that everybody leaves a winner, and you don't always get that with sports. Sports can leave you really hanging. I know I had Cleveland Guardians fans on last week who've never won, and I have some show and tell for you in that vein of having never won that I'm going to share with you. But there is something about concerts that everybody wins.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great dichotomy that you just described there between concerts and sporting events. But I do think the disappointment and the low lows of sporting events make you enjoy the victories that much more. Just back in 2011, when Billy Cundiff missed a field goal against the Patriots, and for the Ravens to come back the following season and win it all, it just makes victory that much sweeter, Nestor. There's nothing like professional sports when you don't know the outcome, right? We can predict what it's going to be, and you know, like you said, in the AFC in the championship game, we were left high and dry, and we forgot who we were. We didn't dance with the girl that we took to the prom. We decided to dance with somebody else, and the outcome wasn't what we wanted.
Where do you lay the responsibility of that?
Coaching staff. I mean, I think it's clear. Patrick Ricard certainly did. He came out and said, you know, he didn't know what the coaches were thinking about in that second half. I think they panicked. I think they saw Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, and instead of being true to themselves, they went into a panic mode and try to pass the ball down the field against a 28th ranked run defense in the NFL. Hopefully not with Derrick Henry. They won't do that again. They'll be true to who they are. And you mentioned the offensive line. It's easier to run block the pass block, Nestor, especially early on in the season. So I think they need to be who they are the first several games. If not, they're going to get off to a very, very poor start, I'm afraid.
All right, so I have to have a little show and tell, and then we'll get into this offensive line and Ben Cleveland and Big Sala and Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Linderbaum and fake football and, yeah, like all that stuff. You flirt with me with these pictures of Green Day, right? And everybody knows, like, you know, I collect the belt buckles. I have almost all of them at this point. I just turned down a chance to buy a UFO belt buckle for like $300 because I just didn't want to spend $300. I don't have $300 for a belt buckle. I've never spent anywhere near that much money, but it's a really rare belt buckle. So I find myself out on eBay buying things. I found a really cool Rush sweatshirt that I was trying to replace that I paid $40 for. So you find deals, you find bargains, you find just like people come to your car dealership over to Coons looking for a bargain, which you always seem to find for them. So I went out and I've been looking for an Earl Campbell jersey, right? Mm-hmm. I have a Pastorini. I have, you know, one with my own name that's an Elvin Bethea that's like a tent. It's too big for me. I found a Pastorini that fits me. I showed it off to Dan last year. And I saw this Earl Campbell old-time throwback sweater. And I talked last month. I had Todd Radom on, who works for Mitchell and Ness in various ways. He's an artist. He's done a lot of Super Bowl logos. He's done transformational kits for all sorts of professional teams lately, like the KBO teams. He does their logos and the Korean Baseball League. So he's a big shot. And I told him that I saw this throwback jersey, this Earl Campbell thing. It was like an old, like a hockey sweater almost. Looked like Newt Rockne would have worn it, but it's an Earl Campbell thing. And it was like a triple X, triple 4X thing that I never would have bought. Somebody came out with a medium. And I was wondering whether it stunk or not, how it's going to smell, how much I should bid. I think they wanted 60 for it. And I said, no, 30. And you're like, just buy the damn thing. This was your advice to me. Mm-hmm. So I just want to let you know that I got in on it. I wound up getting the throwback
very nice.
Classic, you know, because I know how much you love the Tyler Rose. So, you know, so it's football season for me. I have I'm working that. And then when I found this.
That's a great jersey, by the way. That's a good looking jersey.
I was going to get, and it felt dirty to me, so I didn't do it, because we talked about this last year when those goofballs in Tennessee and Adam's daughter ran them out there, including Derrick Henry, right? Out there in the Oilers pajamas to sort of taunt the Houston people, which I thought was just like way below the nuts in a kick, right? It would be like the Colts putting, well, they wear flashbacks or throwbacks every time they play us, right?
Of course.
But it was unnecessary. So I was going to get a Derrick Henry 22 Oiler jersey to support him, because he's the guy, as you well know, for like years and years. I'm like, if they had him, they had a guy like Derrick Henry behind Lamar Jack. Like, and I felt that way about Ingram. You know, I felt like when Ingram left and Yanda Ingram, they had some slobber knockers that I thought, And I thought more of Ingram than, let's say, Luke did, who spent more time in the locker room to know that they found him expendable, but I felt like he was good.
I agree with you. Yeah,
Yeah,
he was a hard ass. He was.
and I feel like he felt like a grown-up to me when I dealt with him. Some people thought he was a bit of a phony or whatever. When
No.
I was around him, I thought it was grown up, but it was really essential for Lamar at that point. And that's my reporter's hat of doing this for 40 years. So Derrick Henry to me, the minute they and I, two trading deadlines now, I've said, hey man, they can't count on Dobbins. They don't know what they got in Gus. Keaton Mitchell last year, they've never had that thing that they need. I feel like they have it. The Derrick Henry jersey had some like it was the manufacturer's defects in it. I just didn't want to like represent a Nike modern product that was Oilers. So I found this incredible sweatshirt throwback. That's nice, like nice little interior hoodie of cotton, and it's got the non-denominational Oilers logo on it from the 60s in the AFL. And
Nice.
so those are my two new throwback pieces for you. That's my getting in the vibe for football. Some people buy
Good for
Lamar
you.
jerseys this year, or they'll buy a Kyle Hamilton jersey because they had a Peter Bowl wear one or whatever. I'm sort of out of that market. I have a closet full of purple stuff. You can have any of it that you want. But I'm going Oilers at this point, and I've decided to put my reporter's cap on for the Ravens and report on what I see, which is a Super Bowl contender if they can figure out the offensive line, because I've already admitted I'm in love with the running back. I mean, I am. I'm in love with him getting off the bus in January in Kansas City, which is probably what they're going to need to do before it's all over with. I like our team better with him than without him.
Well, Nestor, I love power running backs, and we haven't had a. I think it's fair to say that we haven't had a power running back since Jamal Lewis. Yes, we had Priest Holmes in there, but Priest Holmes was more of a slasher. When you're talking Earl Campbell, when you're talking Derrick Henry, Jim Brown, to me, those were the muscle guys, the guys that have power and speed, and those type that have that power speed combination. They're very, very rare, and I think we're
Bettis. How
privileged to
about
be.
Bettis, huh?
Bettis was that way too. I like the tanks, man. I like the big boys that just can run people over, and they let you notice. Eddie George was that way. He was that category. Having the privilege to watch Derrick Henry to me this year and hopefully next year, it's big. It's big for the Baltimore fan base, and hopefully they'll be able to use him properly, and hopefully the offensive line can at least get him a couple of yards of space before he has to create his own.
People think that you just sell cars, and I had one senior vice president of the Ravens once say to me, "Oh, the car dealer." And I'm like, "He played some
Right.
football, played a little football." Tell everybody where you played when you played football, because specifically to you, I think you see the trenches. You're much more interested in the work of Brian Baldinger, I think, in general, than you are most aspects of football.
I mean, I like the big uglies. I played at EVT, Eastern Vocational Technical High School, and then I went to Towson State back then, played 2 years of football for them before I got injured and went to help out my dad with his carryout at Lexington Market. So I've had concussions. I've had broken bones. I've had 2-a-days. I've been denied water. Back in the day, I've been given salt pills, and it goes on and on. So I do have it, So the executive that made that comment, maybe I don't know if you ever put on a uniform, but unless you get down in the trenches, the man of the arena, as John Harbaugh's apt to say, you don't know what you're talking about. I do know a little bit about playing football, and I wasn't genetically gifted enough to be an NFL player, but I can damn well guarantee you I had the heart to be one.
Offensive line, and what do you see and say in this? What are your expectations? Because I mean, for me and Luke, we're just talking, and I don't know what we learn on Friday night in fake football. I don't know what you learned. You put all the guys in there. I mean, Linderbaum's not a guy that's going to play this month. None of the starters are going to play. I don't want to say it's harder to evaluate, because I don't know that we have. My dad took me to preseason games in 1977 to see Burt Jones run around there bloody in August playing against the Atlanta Falcons on
Sure.
some, crazy third week of August where they're trying to prove something, their toughness in the preseason or whatever it was. All of that's been washed away. The financial veneer of buying season ticket books. And by the way, the Black Wing, let me know how much the Bloody Marys are in there. But I would say for the football side of this, them figuring out the offensive line is job one, two, and three of August, because I feel like every other department they have I'll check off on and say they can go to a Super Bowl with any of the other aspects of what they've built here. Healthy Marlon Humphrey's important, but certainly where Ronnie Stanley sits in this and where the right tackle position is and who the guards are going to be, Marshall Yanda's not coming in the door, and neither's John Ogden. I must say that as that goes, this will go, and I have no predictive nature other than if Ben Cleveland were stepping up and starting, he'd be starting. You know what I mean? Like, if they drafted well and Voorhees, they would just declare him the guy and say that's the – there have been no declarations and no jobs won as far as I can tell. And I'm really – the Ronnie Stanley thing's a real question mark for me going back to when you and I were doing radio every Monday and the Monday after he went down in that game 4 years ago now. I said they're going to have a hard time winning a Super Bowl without that kind of left tackle.
Mm-hmm. No question about it, Nestor. And to me, I tell the guys here all the time at work that hope is not a strategy. You can't hope that Joe D'Alessandro, their offensive line coach, can coach these guys up. It's really concerning, and it's a patchwork, unproven offensive line. It takes time for these guys to get cohesion, communication going, and they have a chance. But to me, if I'm Lamar Jackson, if I'm Derrick Henry, I'm not feeling real good about this offensive line. I'd rather coach thoroughbreds than donkeys, and not calling our guys donkeys by any means, but if I'm going to invest assets right now in the NFL, and also in years past, it's going to be offensive line, defensive line. They've done a much better job with defensive line with Justin Madubuike and Travis Jones and whatnot, and perhaps he would Odafe Owe if he flashes this year, if he plays up to his potential. But the offensive line really heading into the season, it's got to be the biggest question mark on the team. And when you have $50 million tied up in your quarterback position alone, you just put in Derrick Henry. If the big uglies up front can't get it done, that's what's going to be in. It's a recipe for a long season.
I think you and I, Dennis, have had three conversations since the championship game. We haven't talked a whole lot. And you've been busy. I've been around. You've been out. Like, all this stuff. Where are you on Lamar in all of this? And where are you on the wide receivers and stepping it up for Bateman, thinking that Andrews and Likely are both going to be back and healthy and available in two tight end sets to do different things off the edges, and how Monken would utilize that. And this toy they have in Zay Flowers sprouts a potential that, you know, whatever Hollywood Brown you thought of him at that time, the good Hollywood Brown on the best days, Flowers might be that guy 12 or 14 times this year. I mean, he flashes that he could be a difference maker for the offense in that way. But again, a lot of this is protecting Lamar and making sure that Lamar's not running the ball 12, 14, 16 times into traffic and design runs for Lamar. That's what the idea of Henry is. Look, I think Eric DaCosta is a really smart guy. I think that they've tried to put this thing the best way they can, but to your point, until I see an is on the offensive line, I don't know what much of this is, but I've just praised all the other parts of it.
Yeah, well, Lamar, you're talking about a two-time MVP at just 27 years of age. With Lamar, what you see is what you get. Lamar's biggest problem is he's got a conference that Patrick Mahomes lives in. And it's the same problem that Josh Allen has and Joe Burrows and the rest of those and the rest of the young quarterbacks. You got to be able to beat Kansas City in the playoffs, right? That's really the only question mark. I believe Lamar is 2-4 in the playoffs. That's really the biggest knock on him. But Lamar's Lamar. As long as he stays healthy, this team has a chance to make the postseason again. Once they make the postseason, as we all know, anything can happen.
Well, I mean, we definitely have spent off seasons around here saying, well, let's see him pass the ball. Let's see him do this. Let's see him do that. I mean, very few things he hasn't been able to do. But looking at it from the outside, I look at all the offensive lines they've had for 5 years and the players they've had and whatever the investment would be in Stanley and however you feel about him being available or not available. They had McCary, you know, they found patchwork ways when he was injured 2 years ago to at least be, in November, looked like a playoff team, you know, before Lamar went away. Because, I mean, really two incomplete grades there in 21 and 22, right? But this is, on paper, there's nothing impressive about the offensive line to say this is going to be a strength of the team in any way, or that this is going to be one of their better offensive lines. Take Zeitler out, take Moses out. Those were great acquisitions. You know what I mean? Those were parts that made him an MVP quarterback that feel a little unsung in saying, well, some of the receivers didn't work out, and some of the, you know, and then he got hurt. You could talk about Lamar being hurt, but in the totality of when it's going well, and when they're 8-3 at Halloween and things are going, and 21 wasn't that way because Lamar was hurt, but when things were going well, that offensive line was a real, it was a plus. It was, it, you know, even without Ronnie Stanley, with Zeitler and with Linderbaum coming on and, you know, using Hollywood Brown's draft pick to get him, by the way, the offensive line to me was not something I questioned, like, will they be good enough to allow Lamar to be Lamar and all of the, allow Derrick Henry to run, allow Zay Flowers to get, like all the things that have to happen, zone off the offensive line. And you know this intrinsically as a football guy, I feel less confident about that as this season opens. And I don't think it's going to happen the next 3 weeks to change my mind about that. I think we go to Kansas City, it's going to be a box of chocolates that night. We're a month out on that.
Well, in those 3 weeks, of course, Eric DaCosta does have a chance to bring in one offensive lineman. He does have a lot of depth on the back end. I don't know if anybody, everybody on the secondary makes the team currently as it stands. So I do think they have one move to make there, and we'll see how it shakes out. They're keenly aware of where they stand. But with the NFL, with a salary cap, Nestor, every team has weaknesses. But the one weakness I wouldn't have heading to the season, especially with their franchise quarterback, would be an offensive line.
Well, you know, that would be like Christmas in August for all of us. Dennis Colossus is out selling cars. He is at Coons Kia now at the Owings Mills, as well as Coons Baltimore Ford at Security Boulevard. Please stop out, see him. Many, many years of support from the Coons family and from Dennis and our Thursday chats. But getting back on to – so you watching baseball? I mean, I'm half an hour
watching.
We haven't talked baseball at all,
Of course they're watching baseball. Love these young birds and the Jackson Holiday call-up and Kobe Mayo. Look, I know the names of these guys, right? It's been many years where I haven't known anybody on the roster for the Orioles. They're a lot of fun to watch, Nestor. The pitching is suspect and iffy, but this team can score runs in bunches. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Under new ownership, I don't know that you and I've had two chats since then. Like they have Katie Griggs is going to come in and run the team now, and you know, Mr. Rubenstein paid the whole bill this week, we learned, so it's
nice,
all his.
Nice.
I don't know where John is in Nashville drinking something better than you and I have at this point. but have you been out? Have you been participating in Orioles baseball in that way?
I've been to one game this year. I've been very, very busy, but I do watch them at home. I've been taking in complete games. So I've become a fan. They're a lot of fun to watch, and I like their style of play. I like their coach, their manager, Brandon Hyde. They should be able to make a lot of noise in the postseason. Can't wait to see them go up against the Yankees and whoever else they have to face. But they're a lot of fun to watch. And you know what? That's what sells. Good to see crowds coming back to Camden Yards. Hopefully ownership will be a lot better than the previous regime.
Well, you know, I'll be writing about that around Labor Day a little later on in the month, too, about new ownership and the football season. I'll just say this, man. It's my 26th year of owning this joint, running it every minute of every day. The website's been up for 18 years now, pretty consecutively. And Luke's been here 16 years now, doing what he's doing, running around in the heat. And days like last Monday, where they have a practice and a game simultaneously, and we get boxed out. So, like, all of the stuff that's happened, this is the most exciting couple of months. Leonard Raskin and I talked about this last week, and I'll talk to everybody about this because I'm on the street every day. I'm out selling, seeing, visiting, seeing people, eating crabs, doing crab cake tours, doing oyster tour next month, every minute of every day. One of the reasons I want to do the oyster tour next month, and I'm really pleased with it, is September is going to be really special, right? Like the Ravens are underdogs to kick off the season. They should be 0-1 and have to pound on that for 11 days while the Orioles are trying to figure out the Yankees and navigate a bye potentially or not a bye, and who's pitching and who's not, who's in the bullpen. And they're trying to sell tickets down there and trying to get you revved up for playoff tickets and World Series, like all of that stuff. And then we get in October and the Ravens are going to be whatever, 3-1, 4-0, 2-2, whatever they're going to be. Hopefully Lamar is upright. And it's going to be this incredible time where everyone that comes in as a customer of yours, everyone in my listening breath, would not be shocked for them to win the World Series in November and would not be shocked to see the Ravens win an AFC championship game because Patrick Mahomes turns an ankle or something in December and, you know, whatever would happen, bad luck would befall someone else and not us. That could happen. That's never been on the table here. And the one thing, Luke said something, and I got flippant with him back around the All-Star break, because before all the trades happened and all that stuff, even when the pitchers went down, he said 4th of July, he's like, look, man, they're making the playoffs. Relax. And I'm like, we've never been able – I've had the station 26 years. There's never been a July 4th where we look at an Oriole team, not even the good one in 14, because of the way the playoff structure was and the way the Yankees and the Red Sox were always sort of loaded and on your ass a little bit. The thought that it's August and we know they're making the playoffs, that's just – we didn't have that in 83 and 79 when we were kids, man.
No, look, they've come a long way, and it's great to watch these baby birds maturing, coming up for the minors, and really the talent coming up to the surface, and even with Jackson Holliday now, he's great to see him hit a grand slam. First came back, then he hits another home run, and they're just piling on and stacking on, and you got to like what you're seeing.
It's incredible. I look at him and know, like, I talked to his old man years ago, many times, about Matt Holliday, but it was a very nice man. But with Jackson, he looks like he's 12 years old.
He
And
does.
then the part this week, from a management standpoint, I know you appreciate this. All of us as fans are like, who's Slater? And like, we're getting our scorecard out. Who's wearing what number? But by the way, I've joked that Sir Anthony Dominguez, I wish my parents would have named me Sir Nestor. Like that would have been, a whole lot more fun. But trying to figure out who these guys are, Soto, left-hander, the whole thing, ball one, ball two, please stop that. It's really been a lot for of change this week, specifically for all of us that were watching Austin Hayes, and but they've turned over a third of the roster. And Westberg's injury's done that. Mateo's injury's done that.
Sure.
So, I mean, they just turned over. There's been a lot of turnover from what the team was at the All-Star break to what it's going to be moving forward.
Yep, they made moves to shore up their pitching. The one fella, I forget his name, but he's supposed to be a Yankee killer, so that was music to my ears. They've made some moves, and hopefully those moves pan out. I've seen pundits say they were good moves. I've seen pundits say they were not so good moves. So we'll see how it pans out for the stretch run. But it's good news for the home team. Can't wait to see those sellout crowds at Camden Yards.
Yeah, four new pitchers, three new position players,
Yeah.
guys going up and down. They sent Kerstedt down. But I the one thing about Mayo and Holliday, it's really an amazing thing to be bringing rookies up here on a team that, could and should win 100 games, and this is time to make hay. They're on the West Coast, or excuse me, the East Coast. What am I saying? AL East Coast. They're Toronto and then Tampa and then Washington next
Yeah.
week as well. We're going to be down at Fadley's doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Dennis, tell everybody what you're doing out there and selling cars. What's selling more, new or pre-loved? What's happening in the industry these days?
Little bit of both. I mean, there's a bit of a shortage with pre-owned vehicles. Nice pre-owned vehicles are very hard to find. So we work, it's like crabs. You got to work very hard to source them. So you go outside of your comfort zone, you go to different regions, different areas. The nice thing is we do sell a lot of new vehicles, so we get more trade-ins than your average dealership. But right now, incentives are good for new products, both Ford and Kia. And we're rolling right along here on Security Boulevard as well as Reisterstown Road.
Dennis Kalatsis, our longtime friend and our football confidant and consigliere on all things fishing and reservoirs. We'll get him out for some catching some bass. Find him out at Coons Ford Security Boulevard. You can find me and every single thing we do at BaltimorePositive.com.